Chapter 19 The Betrayer. When he awakened in hell, he panicked. He was falling again. His body told him he was falling again. A moment later, he remembered, and the panic ebbed away like a nightmare banished by the dawn. Lingering in its place was exhaustion. He passed a hand over his face, took a deep breath, let it out. He felt the ground scraping against his back and wondered how long it had taken him to fall. Nothing worked how it should in that place. He supposed it might be that he'd fallen throughout the duration of the dream and had awakened only when he settled into the rock. Or perhaps the dream had been instantaneous, transmitted in a flash, after which he'd drifted through emptiness, drooling like a man who'd lost all sense of himself. As he had. He thought of the old days, those earlier times in Erda when coming back to consciousness always felt so similar. He probed around his groin and decided he hadn't fouled himself. He wondered about that. He couldn't remember the last time he'd relieved himself. Surely that was a problem. People needed to urinate several times a day, assuming they took in enough fluids. Of course, he hadn't been lately, not in that place. Then again, he wondered how long he'd been there. Instinct told him a few hours at most, but he wasn't sure. When he thought back to any single event, the cave in Talom, the raft, the temple entrance, walking the fields and running from the Watcher, any one of those might have taken any length of time. He didn't realize just how much he'd relied on the day-night cycle to give him a sense of passage until that moment. In hell, all times were the same, and they all lasted forever. He considered not moving. For a while, Udo considered the lack of desire within his own heart, and wondered if he shouldn't just lie there for as long as time would allow, for as long as it took for him to be found. He knew he should be getting up, knew he should get moving again. He just lacked the need. The strength was there, sure. In that place, it required hardly any strength at all to leap a mila. He wanted only for desire. Whatever it was inside of a man that made him need, it seemed to have been displaced when Dittmar's dream poured into his body. Eyes still closed, he said, "There has to be a better way to find peace. There must be somewhere I can go, short of the pits of hell, to be alone." While peace is indeed the goal, if you think I'm taking you to find solitude, you haven't been paying attention, Geffen said. I wondered when you'd find me. Oh, it wasn't easy. I searched for quite a while. Probably would have continued to search if not for... We're not alone in here, Geffen. Obviously. No, I mean there's more. I saw many people. They wore white masks and metal armor that had been polished to the point of gleaming even in this lightless pit. Oh. Udo sat up. Oh? That's your answer? Just oh? He looked at his strange friend, standing there next to Dittmar's soul. Upright, straight as an arrow's flight, head cocked. Curious, like a bird. Who are you? Udo asked. The creatures you saw will not hurt you. Well, they could have fooled me. They noticed you. They grabbed me. Ah. Geffen turned away, seemed to consider this. Udo thought he could see his head tilt backward as if the man stared out into the cavern's emptiness. But it was very hard to tell with the godskin. With his back presented, Geffen looked like a hole in reality. Well, he continued, noticed or not, they won't harm you. What about the others? Others? He returned his attention to Udo. Yeah, same kind of people as the ones that took me. Armor and masks, only these ones had markings all over the masks. It was like the Walhazians we fought, who'd inked their bodies in the stories of their lives. I didn't get the sense they were with the ones who'd taken me. Geffen smiled. They are even less likely to harm you. Be at ease. Who are they? They hid as if terrified. They likely were. You needn't fear, Udo. They're anomalies. I'm amazed they even let you see them. But who? I'm sorry, but there's no time. We must continue on at speed. Geffen offered his hand. Udo stared at it a moment, then gave the ground a sharp jab with the tips of his fingers. His body rose up gently, as if he was a mote of dust swirling on the eddies. When he'd drifted far enough, he lowered his legs to the ground and stood. You've grown quite comfortable here.
Yes.
I see you're no longer favoring your arm as well.
Yes, the godskin is wondrous, Udo said in a flat tone.
Geffen searched his eyes a moment, then nodded. Well, not so wondrous. We must hurry now. Your little adventure, though not without merit, has required time we did not have. Look out over the field, Udo. We're nearly to the final circle now. In fact, we stand upon its boundary. Come, time to hurry.
And I was just thinking to myself that time must not matter here, Udo sighed.
Geffen's eyes widened by perhaps an eyelash.
Oh no, time always moves.
He reached out with a single fingertip, pressed it against Udo's arm, and then withdrew it slowly. The godskin tried to lift away with it. Udo felt it sucking at his skin as it did.
The melam thins, Geffen said. So does your voice, Udo thought. Why do you sound as though you're talking in your sleep?
Geffen continued.
It spends itself to support you. The air you breathe, the nutrients you consume. Your body's eating it, Udo, and when it's gone, you'll be naked in this place. And believe me, that is something you do not want.
He turned and resumed the march to Hell's center.
Come, you must stay close to me at all times now. If it's listening, the Watcher can sense when you join with these souls. If it was listening, there is a good chance it searches for a way back to this cavern as we speak.
Udo decided to follow him a while longer. He didn't see the gap until they were upon it. A dead zone among the dead, wide enough to support a battlefield. The soft luminance of the tanks failed there, prompting Udo to use different parts of his eyes for sight. The eyes of the godskin. The landscape stretched before them, sharp and angular. It was a plain of knife-edged shadows and shifting rubble. When he stood out there in the emptiness and closed his eyes and listened, he thought he heard the low grinding of twin worlds turning endlessly far overhead. A hand grasped him below the shoulder and gently squeezed.
We must move, my friend. We are exposed here. There is safety deep in the tanks. What's beyond, Geffen?
His voice sounded very small to his own ears.
Beyond?
Udo gestured all around.
Erda, Talam, this cavern, there are more worlds here.
Many more.
And all of this together?
Everything you see or can feel, the rock of the cavern, the worlds within it, and the emptiness in between, all of this is called the diaspora.
And what is beyond?
Emptiness. The most frustrating emptiness you will ever encounter.
Frustrating?
Geffen nodded and seemed to think a moment. Then he said,
There are worlds beyond those that the gods have built for mankind. More than what you'll find here.
More than you'd ever be able to visit in 100 million lifetimes. It is frustrating because the worlds created by the gods are perfect for you.
Those out there in the emptiness, they were created by no one at all. And so they are rather imperfect. The gods are seekers of perfection, then.
Thinking of his own appearance and of the war within his heart, Udo was suddenly self-conscious.
Sometimes, Udo, sometimes. But we must be moving, please. If I lead, will you follow me?
I will.
Geffen gave him a look.
I will. I will follow you a while yet.
Geffen nodded. Then he turned and faced the pit, the final circle of hell. From their position, the blue of the tanks bled together in a thick, bright ring with a center as dark as coal. It seemed a titanic eye set flat into the rock, staring lidless toward the hidden ceiling. On the battlefields of Walhaz, Udo used to encounter the dead, lined up row on row on row, waiting for the pyre. Their eyes were open as often as not, the tears having thickened to jelly that glued the lids in place. Sometimes he'd pulled duty, stacking them upon the wood bundles. The insects and other carrion feeders wasted no time laying into their flesh, and the Theodiscan troops would dump bodies and carrion feeders alike upon the open flames. All things consumed, consumed in fury and blood, consumed by maggots and other crawling things, now consumed again in the fire. There was a memory in there somewhere, of a young woman's head lolling over a mutilated shoulder. Her eyes had fallen upon Udo's, and though he never felt as though the body had looked at him, those orbs had less life than cheap pottery, he had seen ants walking across her naked eye and recoiled. Geffen lowered, planted his feet, and leapt. Udo watched him rise, high and higher, then hang in the air. He thought Geffen might have flown higher than the roofs of Plotzdorf. The man had drifted at least a full city square before his feet contacted the ground. He seemed to bounce. A moment later, Udo realized he'd perfectly timed the explosion of his following leap with the landing and would likely fly even further in the second bound. He shrank into the distance, soon to be as tiny as an ant walking along hell's iris.
"All right, stay close," he says.
Udo sighed. Then he gathered the strength of his legs, which was copious, and sailed like Thunair over the ocean of the damned. They resumed walking normally when they'd crossed the final boundary of the dead. For a while, Udo said nothing as his breath settled back to an easy rhythm. His skin felt cool and refreshed where a moment before it had begun to itch like mad. He wondered if that was what it was like to sweat beneath a godskin. The itching had been quite obnoxious, partially because it was the first time he'd noticed it. Udo put it down to the fact that they'd labored across the dead zone in relative ease, not fleeing in fear so much as rushing toward an end he suspected they both desired. Under such circumstances, Udo's mind was at liberty to feel more, and so it did. It felt the heat and the maddening itch all over his body, and then the wonderful coolness shortly after. It was a refreshing sensation, as in dipping into a cool river or diving beneath the ocean's waves. Now among the final dead, the last of hell's souls on the way to whatever might lie beyond, he concentrated on that feeling of renewal. He used it to avoid dealing with the stranger who guided him.
"Alas," Geffen gestured, "the final ring of hell. This is the place of violence, fraud, and treachery. It is the realm of betrayal."
"Hmm," Udo answered.
"And who will I meet here?"
"Who?"
Udo stopped walking. A moment later, Geffen stopped as well and turned to face him.
"That's enough," Udo said. "You haven't dealt straight across the table with me. Not since you found me in that forest. How many people are strewn across this field? Don't answer. I was thinking out loud. I couldn't begin to guess, but having walked these paths, I at least have to wonder if anyone actually makes it to Godon's halls. Given what you've told me about the sort of behavior that brought these people here, I'm sure it wasn't the priests that made it to his table. They must all be down here, each one living out his own special torment. And even so, Geffen, even so, I have twice found myself staring into the sightless eyes of men I have known."
"Ah," Geffen nodded. He held his hand out to Udo, who hesitated.
"Please," he insisted. "Please walk with me a while longer. The illusions are almost spent now. You and I near the end of our little comedy.
Udo stared at the hand extended to him, then at the eyes of its owner.
Start making sense soon. I'm near the end of my path. Never mind your fucking comedy.
Carefully, as if Udo was an abused alley dog, Geffen placed an arm around his shoulders to get him moving, then removed it soon after.
You say it's implausible for you to have encountered people you once knew here. I'd say damned near impossible. Implausible. If it were impossible, you would have believed it without question.
What?
Look around you, Udo. You are clad as a god. You tread through hell's own courtyard, through the valley of death. You've escaped two worlds to do so, in fact. What wonders those eyes of yours have seen. Wouldn't you say that any of that is impossible?
I would have.
Yet here we stand. You have accepted the impossible, almost without question. Not once have you considered any alternatives. What if you're mad? What if this is all a hallucination? Suppose you finally found your way to the narcotics in the lower quarters, those things you smoke or sniff to escape yourself, eh? Isn't it more probable that Udo lies drooling right now on the floor of a whore's bedchamber? Isn't it likely that even now he's still in the barber's tents, that old spear wound rotting a hole in his belly?
No.
No?
No. Absolutely not.
And how would you know?
Udo thought about it.
It feels too real. I can't explain why, but I know.
Very well, but given all you've seen, all that you've done, you still hold it improbable that you'd stumble upon people you knew? Out of this ocean of souls, why shouldn't you recognize a few of them? How many have you seen here that were total strangers?
More than I can count. But I did not stumble upon Nix. You led me to him. I did not stumble upon Dittmar. I was dragged to his tank, and then when I saw him, the Melem moved my hand. That was no accident. I'm being goaded.
And you weren't the least bit curious about Dittmar, eh?
No. I wasn't curious until after I saw his torment.
Geffen glanced at him. From the corner of his eye, Udo saw the familiar face bathed in blue with each tank they passed.
How so? Geffen asked. You told me hell is a place of learning rather than punishment. It is where the gods seek to understand the hearts of mankind and perhaps discover how to correct their evil ways.
Essentially, yes.
All right. Well, I saw a time in Dittmar's history, a decision he made that most people would tend to look on unfavorably. I understand many of his decisions were thus, but this one, Geffen, this one was different. I think it was exactly the kind of act to land a person in your second ring back there. The domination of one's fellows, eh?
Yes.
And it wasn't Dittmar's decision, or at least not entirely. Someone shared that guilt with him. He was prodded, cajoled until he gave in. And you know, I'm done pretending as though you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm done pretending you're truly Geffen. You know good and goddamned well that Hammond was there and that he was a god wearing a human skin. Dittmar was probably goaded along his entire reign, just as I've been goaded across this fucking cavern. So I'm starting to wonder just how many of Dittmar's actions were Dittmar's. I've fallen under that serpent's influence before. I know how persuasive he is.
And you're certain there was no part of Dittmar that was willing to comply, that perhaps wanted to go along with Hanman's plans?
In a sudden rage, Udo seized Geffen's forearm and struck the man across the face with his own hand.
There! Who hit you? Was it you or me?
The Geffen thing, who'd not even bothered to flinch under the blow, said nothing. Udo threw his arm away as if it were filth.
I'm not accepting any more fucking word games from you. The point is that this place was supposed to be where damaged souls are sent for study. I suppose by gods who are just so fucking virtuous that they simply could not possibly understand the base desires of humankind.
That implies the people who are here came on their own merits. They earned their spots. But Dittmar didn't earn his spot. Not entirely. He was controlled. Perhaps every step of the way. He's here on a goddamned lie, and I was led to see him specifically. Why?
Geffen's eyes had changed. It was subtle. As Udo ranted, the soul behind them had ebbed away like water evaporating. By the time he'd finished, almost nothing remained. Nothing save for the intelligence that drove the body. It felt like a detached, disinterested thing. Udo thought again of ants marching across gummed-over eyeballs.
Why, it repeated, as I said, this is a place of learning for gods both old and new. In the specific case of Dittmar, you were shown his vision to demonstrate one thing only. The gods do not play fair.
The eyes glanced behind Udo, and the head nodded. Now apprehensive, Udo turned to see what his guide had indicated. It was another tank. Within was his old master, Mathis. The strength leached from Udo's legs. On Erda, he would have collapsed to the ground. In hell, his body only drifted, held upright merely by the natural tension of his body's connective tissues. He waited a moment, curious to see what would emerge within his heart. Fear or horror? Perhaps rage? Might it be joy? Joy at witnessing the soul of his former keeper tortured forever in hell? Or would he be tortured? He wondered what sick dreams might come to that bent, poisonous creature. If he relived the memories of his life within that tank, could it be that Mathis reposed in his own personal paradise? As if in response to Udo's thoughts, the body in the tank shuddered, then rotated slowly in its fluid suspension. He felt his heart quicken perhaps a beat before it fell back to a restful pace.
What now? Udo muttered. Will my hand be guided again?
He eyed the depression in the side of the tank and wondered if he would feel terror to move toward it.
No. No more leading. Now you are at the end, and the final decision is yours. What will you do? Step into the dream? Seek out answers? Perhaps a confrontation? Have you realized that within the dream you have the power to reshape the host's reality? You could turn his world into whatever you desire. Cause him to experience whatever you choose. Or don't. There is always the option to walk away. Udo may simply continue on while Mathis remains. The choice is finally yours.
Who are you? Udo asked. Is that Tyr in there? What monster rides my old friend's body? I am no more a monster than you. I wonder, Udo whispered.
He was still looking at Mathis, still waiting for himself to react. When he was younger, he used to dream of this very situation, used to imagine it slowly in his mind, and relive the most cherished parts again and again. Then later, when he'd had his chance in Kolmar, the result had been fast and sickening. When he was done, he'd sensed that some part of himself had broken, and that he would never again be mended back to normal, or as normal as Udo could ever be. Now he stood before the man again, another chance, another opportunity to have his day and take back what had been taken from him. He stared into the face of Mathis, the face that had haunted his nightmares for so long, that had chased him down all the corridors that he'd fled from, down, down into the bottle had he fled. The face that looked so much like his own. His eyes, his nose, his mouth, even the ears. Udo waited. He felt nothing.
All right, he muttered.
Then he bent and took the thick rope that connected to the bottom of the tank and twisted it the way he'd seen the others do, those white-masked men in gleaming steel armor, and felt the mechanism unlock and pulled it away and threw it aside. The light of the tank had winked off above him as soon as he felt the click. By the time he stood back up, Mathis was gone.
Interesting, the man behind him mused.
Of all the choices you could have, Udo never heard his thought completed. He'd already leapt into the cavern darkness, flying away blackly like one of Godan's ravens.